Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's Wednesday, the 23rd day of July, 2025. Thank you so much for your patience as we worked through some technical difficulties yesterday. So thank you for that. And also thank you for bearing with us as we just go through different things throughout the week. Now tomorrow, Steve Quayle is not going to be on tomorrow. I believe Randy Taylor will be with me tomorrow. But with me right now is Austin Brower, healthmasters.com or teamhealthmasters.com. That's the place to go for all of your nutritional supplements. We have a lot to talk about. He sent me a list of things that he's got his eyes on. And I'll tell you, it's quite the list. Before I get to Austin, I just want to mention this as well. The, for all of the yelling and the upset that we've been doing about, well, wait a second, we're not going to see justice happen. I'm not going to say that we are, but it's interesting because now the Department of Justice under Bondi or under Tulsi Gabbard, I'm sorry, the ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard came up and said, hey, you know what? We're naming Obama as one of the principals in the Russiagate hoax, and then came out with a whole list of others in participation, in collusion, in a criminal conspiracy. Now the Justice Department just announced they're going to create a strike force to investigate the evidence that Tulsi Gabbard has laid forward. So I've got to say that this is a little bit different now than it was a couple of days ago, a couple of weeks ago. This is a little bit different. So keep your eyes on this. I do think that this is going to be something. And also, insurance data. We're going to be getting this a little bit later. Insurance data exposes some 5,000 deaths a week from the slab jab, from the COVID vaccine, if that's what they want to call it. It's not that. So 5,000, roughly, insurance data. That's there's this unwillingness to discuss any of that, which I find rather interesting. All right, with me, Austin Brower. Again, Team Health Masters. Also catch this program with his dad every weekday morning. You can hear it on Global Star Radio, as is our program as well. But the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Austin, how are you, sir?
Doug, great to be on the show as always. I always appreciate you guys and your listeners and all the friends and family I get contact with on a regular basis. But yes, there's been some wild stuff going on right now. I think a lot of the stuff with Obama and this whole strike force, I don't know yet. It seems kind of odd to me that this whole throw the kitchen sink and everything at the mainstream media as soon as this Epstein stuff came out. Everybody was screaming at the rooftops about it. Nothing was getting published. Everything didn't exist. Everything was a hoax. Nothing existed. And now suddenly we come out and we say, okay, well, we're demanding basically that all the grand jury testimony, everything gets unsealed from his entire conviction from the stuff that happened down here in Florida. Well, now suddenly it comes out that the judge has now fully denied the DOJ's request to unseal the Epstein jury transcript. To seal the jury transcript between 2005 and 2007 during that case, which I find to be really, really coincidental, right after they said they're going to, right after Congress said, we are basically going to recess a day early. We're not going to convene for a while. Now this judge issues this. And then on top of that, you got Jeffrey Epstein's former attorney who actually secured the plea deal during that 2008 plea deal. Is dead now. Roy Black, who's 80 years right. old. My condolences to the family. They said he was ill. He died on Monday. And so suddenly he's not there anymore. He's gone. Congress says we're going to recess. We're not going to talk about this for 4 weeks. Now the judge says we're not following this. Now we're not going to unseal these transcripts. This whole thing just continues to get stinkier and stinkier. It's like a bag of poop in the room that nobody wants to touch. Excuse my analogy on that. But it's like they keep trying to throw stuff to try to give everybody a pacifier.
Yep.
And then as soon as they do it, it blows up in their face. So it was like the main thing was, hey, now, Obama was involved in this whole entire collusion. Quite frankly, a lot of us already heard about this stuff, that they had been the FISA warrants and them wiretapping them, spying on it. This is not new news. Now, some of the stuff they come out with to the level of how many people were involved in it and what they're involved in has been new. But we've known about this for almost a decade now, ever since before the election, before Trump won against Hillary. And so now they're trying to make this a topic of discussion. But this whole thing with Epstein gets weirder and weirder and weirder. And then a story just came out. ABC just published it, said Trump was told by Bondi his name appeared multiple times on the Epstein files. Well, there are no Epstein files, apparently, and it's entire hoax. So this is like, I mean, it's like, what the hell is going on, Doug? One day it's one thing. The next day it flips the script. Now we got Obama with a strike force involved in it. And it's like they're trying to throw so much crap at the wall to see if it will stick. It reminds me almost of everything they were doing to try to cover their butt when we took out Saddam with the first invasion of Iraq and went into Baghdad, couldn't find any weapons of mass destruction, couldn't find any enriched uranium. Everybody knew what was going on eventually at a certain point. The entire DOD was trying to cover the whole thing up because we knew they didn't have anything. And then they just started throwing all this different stuff out there to try to keep people on the hook, on the baited hook, to follow the narrative of keep supporting a war we didn't even need to start. And this, it reminds me a lot of this now, man. It's like deja vu, dude. I feel like this stuff never changes. So, I mean, what's your take on a lot of this stuff?
Pretty much what you said. Now, I think the deep state is so far, I mean, so heavily embedded in all of this. In terms of Donald Trump being mentioned in the Epstein files, I would kind of almost be surprised if he wasn't. Okay. And the fact that the fact that reportedly they don't exist, well, it's now they exist in the form of documents on computers, whether hard copy or digital, they're there, as well as videos and other items. The actions of the congressional Muppets, I don't know what else to describe them, speak volumes, I think, as well as, look, President Trump should absolutely demand transparency. Yet he's the one that's saying, well, you know, it's essentially doing the Hillary Clinton. What difference does it make? You're still talking about that. You know, that doesn't make much sense. But all that said, look, I think I think there are some things that are going to be struck pretty hard. The history of the strike force goes back to 2007, the creation. And I'll tell you something, they're pretty effective because they combine the agencies, top investigators, various agencies, and they're pretty effective. So it's going to be interesting to see where that leads. But, you know, beyond that, I don't know. But if we can get some people like Brennan, Clapper, and others in charged with criminal conspiracy and other crimes, hey, I'm all for that. But we have to start somewhere. Am I going to hold my breath? No, not really. But it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
I wish they added Fauci on that list too, since Crimes Against Humanity. That would be really nice to have him on there. But this isn't related to him on that. But, you know, the thing with this judge denying it, they're saying that the U.S. judge, Robin Rosenberg, denied the government's petition to unseal his transcripts, saying that the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals doesn't permit her court to grant such a request. They said the arguments brought to the GIOJ were not sufficient to comply with the exception of the rule. The government has not requested grand jury testimony for a judicial proceeding, so the district courts are usually barred from unsealing grand jury testimony. I didn't know that, but that's obviously pertinent ruling with these federal courts. So it makes me wonder if this whole little theater show where Trump comes out earlier in the week and says, I want all this stuff unsealed. We're unsealing this grand jury indictment. We're sealing all this. Unsealed, unsealed, unsealed. Pam Bondi goes out and says unsealed 50 times on NBC and ABC and, you know, CNN and Fox. And now suddenly the Justice Department goes, dude, U.S. District Judge said, no, we're not unsealing this. There's no cause for this. So it makes me wonder if, again, that wasn't just one gigantic theater show, or if you got this judge just refusing to do it because they don't want anybody to know what's on it, or there was just simple collusion behind it. The entire thing was a giant circus act for us to focus on one monkey while they stuck the one, another one out the back to throw poop on us. I don't know. But that's kind of what I'm feeling with this here. Because it's like, obviously, the Department of Justice knew this. So why in the world would they petition if they didn't think they were going to get them sealed unless they just wanted it for smoke and mirrors? I don't know. My question.
No, I think you're 100% accurate. And there are a lot of monkeys in this circus.
Yeah, there are.
And we have to think back, too, of what Patel and Bongino said about Epstein killing himself and about about the different things and about the look or the appearance that they had when they were saying what they said. There's something that really stinks about that whole mess. And I think whatever is in there needs to see the light of day. Whatever there, and we can certainly make. They can account for the anonymity of the victims without a problem, but the perpetrators must be identified. And let's not forget, there are victims here. What about the victims? Go ahead, sir.
Exactly. What about justice for the victims? I mean, this is one of the first time you've seen the federal government not give a rat's ass about victims at all. Well, the federal government loves to be the victim in every case. They love to charge people with certain charges where there are no victims. But yet this one, we have pertinent victims. We have young children as victims. We have horrific, graphic sexual acts being done to young children. And yet suddenly, nothing to see here. It's right. Not. It's just a hoax. I mean, don't forget, we on the show 2 weeks ago, we just analyzed Bondi and Trump's insanely bizarre talk around behavior. With them saying that who's talking about Epstein? Nothing exists. Nothing is here. Bondi's lying through her teeth and says Epstein has never worked or has no idea if there's any connection between him and any type of intelligence, community, that they have no idea what's involved in, that it was child porn. That's why I didn't release it. There's nothing to look at here. So I haven't dropped it for the sole purpose of these were crimes that were committed against children and not just children, thousands of children. And for some odd reason, nobody's concerned about it. It's just, we'll let it go. We're not worried about it. But yet you get somebody say, like in St. Cloud 3 years ago, he basically works for the FAA. He takes a stock off his little Scorpion rifle and puts a pistol brace on it and changes the barrel length. Suddenly the ATF goes out of their way to get a confidential informant to record photos of his gun in a gun range and go to his house and record it again just so they can raid him to throw him in prison. And he pleads it down to 3 years in a federal penitentiary for possession of a short-barreled rifle without a tax stamp. But who's the victim? Who is the person that got shot? Who is the injured party? There was none. The government says we're the injured party because you violated the law. Okay, fair enough. Where are the injured parties in this case? It's the children. Who are the perpetrators? Don't tell me that you have that much footage, the perversion, and there's not a single show of anybody in those videos whatsoever exposing their face or exposing any type of identifying markers. Come on, dude. And that's what I think is making me so irritated about this is they're playing this flip-flop game to keep people so confused and distracted that nobody can really figure out what the real truth is, except we do know this. There are victims, they were children, and they deserve justice and have the light shown on the people that abused them. That is a fact that we all know, and I don't think anybody can argue with that, Doug.
Amen. Amen to that. And also, Ghislaine Maxwell, the House Oversight Committee is going to be interviewing, or they subpoenaed Ghislaine Maxwell, and she will be deposed on August 11th. That's going to be an interesting. I don't know how that's going to go, frankly, in a public. I think that's in a public setting.
She's probably going to plead the fifth. That's my bet on it. If she doesn't plead the fifth, if she drops the bag, I think they're going to try to kill her before she does this deposition. If she's not going to play ball, my personal opinion, she's not going to remember anything. I remember nothing. I know nothing. I saw nothing. I don't remember anything about anything. I went to prison for no reason. Because if they knowingly let her go into this depot, and this is straight public record, and we're going to see what goes on here, and she actually starts dropping names under oath, oh, dude, it's all hell's going to break loose. Everybody's going to be like, oh, there were no people on the list. There is no list that exists. Now we got an individual who's been incarcerated for it, and now she's on a doggone deposition under oath. So I don't know. She needs to make sure she has a really good insurance policy.
Well, I agree with you on that. And the fact that They came out, they meaning our government came out, and the prosecutor said there is no evidence of, you know,
anyone
of any, yeah, anyone, anything. She could really not have to say much of anything, and
right.
And that testimony could be used to free her. You know, correct. I mean, that's how effed up this whole thing is.
Well, no, so. That's kind of where I'm concerned about is it's almost like they're setting the stage. Because here, play the devil's advocate for this. If they're wanting to play this game, they go in and have a conversation with her and say, Maxwell, what do you remember? I don't know anything about anything. I don't even know why I'm here right now. Okay, good answer. So there were no people involved in any of this. I don't know anything about anything. I never saw anybody. Okay. All right. Put her on the depot. She goes in. They say, listen, we've got to basically pardon her. She doesn't know anything. She never saw anything. Nothing ever happened. Just like the FBI report said that there was nobody to go after. This was a mistake. This was a giant mistake that happened. We made a mistake. We need to release her from prison and we need to let her go in peace because she did nothing because there was no anyone and it never happened. Just like the FBI said, guys, see, we told you this. And it's almost, I'm not predicting anything, but that would be an incredibly effective manipulative play for them to do this and make this entire thing disappear and go, wow, whole thing's just been theater for the last couple of years. It was all a hoax. It was all the Democrat hoax that they put on everybody. There was no list at all. And the issue with it is, you know, we're going to remember, we're going to talk about it, but sure as crap, as short as attention span as people are, it will eventually start going down to the rabbit hole of memory. And then anytime it gets brought up, anytime, you're going to have mainstream media is going to go, oh, those conspiracy theorists. Remember their Epstein file hoax? That was so funny. That was cute. Remember, Maxwell got released because there was nobody to prosecute because it never happened. It didn't exist. It was all misfiling. Epstein killed himself because he felt guilty, and that's the end of it. We never need to talk about it again.
Yeah, I mean, this is not a good look for anybody.
No.
Man, I'll tell you something. There are so many twists and turns to this. I agree with exactly what you said. And the bottom line is Maxwell could be freed. And this calls into question a lot of things. We now know, of course, the video of the cell that wasn't just missing 1 minute. I think it was missing closer to 3 minutes. So we were lied to about that. There are so many things that we've been lied to. So you're right. The bottom line too is the media will use this, the mainstream media, but some of the very people I'm sure who were involved in this, they're going to use this as a hammer against platforms like yours and mine and others and say, you know, just like they did with Pizzagate. Okay. Yep. It was incredible. The evidence was there, is still there, the people. Yet, you know, it's, well, we're not going to prosecute, which we have to stand up and do something to make sure that justice is served. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you're 100% right. They did the exact same thing with Pizzagate. There wasn't a child trafficking. We already know that besides guns and weapons, child trafficking is a number third black market commodity in the United States. That is a documented fact from the DOJ. Yeah, we're trying to pretend now that this never happened, this doesn't exist, nothing to see here. And the issue that we've seen so many times now, especially since illegal immigration, is that a lot of individuals in customs enforcement and other people involved in them have been involved in these children disappearing. Again, nobody wants to talk about that. We're just going to ignore everything. This is such a sick, demented topic that I hate bringing it up. But when I keep seeing things occur and nobody wants to address them and everybody just wants to pretend that it doesn't happen, when it's one of the most sadistic, perverted, demented things you could possibly do in human history is do stuff to little children. It's the one thing that everybody pretty much can agree on. It should never happen. Yet, it doesn't exist. It's a hoax. Nothing to see here. And they're going to use it. If they pull this off with Maxwell, they're going to use it to try to absolutely crucify the alt media. They're going to come in and say, look at these conspiracy theorists. Look at all they talk about. They're discredited. They've been talking about Epstein for years. And now we clearly know that there was nothing to see here. Nobody's been involved in anything. Nobody was trafficked to nobody.
Yeah, you're correct.
So, anyways, I will get off that topic.
All right, go ahead.
Well, the one thing that I saw here earlier, this is an article that came up, and I really wanted to address it. I brought it up on the beginning of our show today, but I didn't have enough time, and I sent it to you. And it's nothing short of many articles, many studies have been done on this now with children and smartphones. And I've addressed it a lot, especially with school coming up now in next month. And a lot of children really need to be on some good supplements like the multiple and the children's DHA that we have to keep their brain sharp and focused. So the teachers don't want to try to put them on Adderall and Ritalin, stay off that horrible stuff for kids. It says smartphone use in kids under 13 is now directly linked to depression and suicidal thoughts. The study was published in the Journal of Human Development and Capabilities July 20th. Researchers from nonprofit Sapien Labs found that smartphone use by kids younger than 13 was linked to higher rates of suicidal thoughts, poor emotional regulation, lower self-worth, and detachment from reality, and also found this especially true for girls. Specifically, the negative mental health symptoms strongly linked to early cell phone or smartphone ownership include not just suicidal thoughts, detachment from reality, but even aggression and hallucinations. The study also found the impacts compounded, meaning the younger the smartphone user was, the worse their mental health and well-being was likely to be. Researchers say it's because smartphone use has exposed them to social media at early ages, way too young, and they're linked to sleep disruption, poor family relationships, and inability to differentiate basically internet world from the real world. And the reason why, if you look at this from a psychological standpoint, ages children, specifically under 13, it gets really bad, is because before kids really start going into puberty, when they're about 11, 12, 13 years old, before they start getting the hormone change, that's the average age, is that you're kind of in that phase where you're still kind of a child, you're turning into an adolescent, the hormones haven't really kicked in to start really making you a stronger adult or a stronger teenager, you know, estrogen, testosterone, so forth. So you're still kind of in that play mindset up until about 10, 11 years old. Then you start kind of turning into a teenager, adolescent, you get focused on different things, your hormones start changing, you start getting stronger, you start growing more, you start getting a sex drive as a teenager. All these things start changing very rapidly when you're a teenager. But before this age, you're still in kind of this augmented reality. It's weird. Everybody knows this. So what happens is when you take these kids that are 8, 9, 10 years old and you put them in front of a screen and they have access to entirely too much content, stuff they should not even be looking at, and that's taking even porn out of the equation. That's already horrific. You put them in these social media settings where they're exposed to all these kids with all this stuff and these young adults with all these vehicles and all these trips and all this travel, these provocative women. It's a stimuli overload that their bodies and minds were never designed to absorb or be exposed to. Even of adults, back before smartphones and social media 15, 20 years ago, you never could see this much content this quickly right in front of your face. We had computers, we had laptops, we had the wide world of internet in the 2000s. But at the end of the day, you never were bombarded with this much because now you've got these social media platforms that are specifically designed to keep you constantly dopamine hooked with a big old bait hook in your jaw. So these kids are watching this and they scroll and they scroll and they scroll and they like and they scroll and they like and they scroll and they do it for hours. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, it goes on and it's an endless scroll. There's no stop. So it's not like you scroll 10 things that caps you off. You can scroll thousands and thousands and thousands of photos and content an hour if you're a young kid and you're scrolling through it. And the brain doesn't know how to take all that stimuli and process it because your body isn't even remotely developed mentally to be able to handle it. And so it causes significant mental problems. You're talking about hallucinations, aggression, suicidal thoughts, detachment from reality. So this topic is huge to me. I've got 3 kids. None of them got iPads. They will not be getting cell phones at any point in time in the future unless I buy them one of those burner phones from Walmart. You can load minutes up on it. They can make a phone call for safety reasons. But giving them open access to a smartphone to be able to look at the entire world through a screen that's not real and places that don't exist like Twitter and Instagram, those aren't real places. Those are places where people take photos of the best, the best, the best of them, and they post them for the world to see and try to get how many likes they can get. At 12 or 13 years old, you don't understand that mentally. You can't. You're incapable of it. And so I encourage my listeners that are family-oriented, that are kid-oriented, that have kids, do your best, guys, because I personally think we're going to see the next wave under the Gen Zs are going to have, especially the ones that have been exposed to this, these kids that have been on social media since they were single digit, that have had iPhones in their hands since they were 6 months old, 1 year old. I think you're going to see this generation have the absolute worst mental health and developmental skills and people skills we've ever witnessed in recorded history. And I don't want to be right on that, but numerous other researchers and psychologists that I know of, that I connect with, that I talk to, are all ringing the giant alarm on this and saying, we've got a problem. We've done enough studies now over the last 10 years. We've looked at what's going on with social media and adolescents and adults. Now we're watching what it does in single-digit age children have access to it. It is a problem. Everybody needs to be aware of it. And if you're continually allowing your kids to have open access to this as a young child, you're knowingly setting them up for failure. You know it now. You can't be just actively denial on it and say, oh, well, I didn't know anything. The research is here. More studies are coming out. This is one of the worst ones I've ever seen because it really took a role and looked at kids all the way down the line of ages and studied this and said, we've got a problem. Global restrictions need to be placed, or people need to start restricting smartphone social media use to children under 13, period. There's a serious issue. So,
and this news story is from
the long rant.
this is fabulous. And this news story appeared on MSN. So it's not like some kind of weird.
No, these are mainstream media outlets are covering this stuff now, and they're going into detail in on it about, listen, bing, ding, 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 red flag, flare, set up the flag. Dude, we got a problem. Everybody needs to be aware of this and stop using smartphones as a stinking babysitter because you're too lazy to raise your kids or be a role model or train them how to be adults. So I put a smartphone in front of them because they just don't pay attention to anything and they're cool. Are you that lazy of a crappy parent? You have to continually put a phone in front of their face? Give me a break, dude. People wonder why all this stuff is happening to these kids.
What's the difference, if any, between this argument and the 50s? No, it would have to be 70, 80-year-old argument. Televisions are going to basically be responsible for the same thing, okay? Remember all of the warnings people came out with about television. And I think they're still valid. But is... what's the difference? Except maybe this is a hell of a lot more because of its interactivity. It's on steroids. I mean, TV on steroids, or it's
massively on steroids. TV is a little bit more controllable. You know, obviously too much or even a modern amount of TV is still not good. They've done enough studies on that. But it's a little bit more controllable, especially if you have movies or DVDs or motion pictures that you can actually enjoy and watch with a kid, like Swiss Family Robinson or something that actually has a storyline they can follow. When you start putting super high flicker rate with graphic content that 13-year-olds shouldn't be seeing, and I don't just mean, like I said, sexual, but all types of array of different things, and it's continually bombarding them all day long, there's no social structure to it based on a motion picture. You don't have a 2-hour-long story of a beginning, a medium, and then a conclusion and a finale. You don't have that structure. You have this super high flash flicker rate with no context to it. And that's one of the reasons why it's making them detached from reality, because all they're doing is getting a barrage of 1,000 photos and videos. There's no context and they want more and more and more and more and more. It's a never ending satisfying. Dopamine trigger that you're never satisfied with because there's never a conclusion. At least with a good motion picture, you have a finale and the movie's over. That was the story. It's done. It never ends with social media. It goes on in perpetuity. That's one of the biggest issues with it from a psych standpoint.
Man, and I remember my classes when you had to leave your calculators behind as opposed to
phones. On the front desk.
Wow. All right. And you also were listed obesity here, the obesity epidemic. This kind of is a good segue into that. Go ahead and... if you want to, let's address that because, hey, you know what? Or wherever you want to go.
No, it's a great topic because besides mental health, physical health is what I mean. They both kind of go back and forth hand in hand. You're seeing obesity cases rise, especially in individuals, young children that use more smartphones, that use more video game time because they're so inactive. And one of the biggest things they found now in a new study, they said that extreme childhood obesity cases increased by 153% between 2008 and 2023. COVID was one of the biggest perpetrators of this because everybody got so dang lazy half the time. So there's an excuse not to do anything. Parents want to sit in their house all day because they're terrified to go out. If you were, you know, soft ass, you don't want to do anything. Oh my God, I got to wear a mask if I go to the store. And then you got kids that couldn't go to school or do anything. And then they continually were sitting at home watching movies, eating food. And you saw this rate go up. They said children facing life-threatening conditions like fatty liver disease makes up 84% of this group of extreme childhood obesity. 84% the health problems are childhood non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. This is directly linked to high fructose corn syrup. This is why I've told so many people, if you're having liver problems, if you're trying to detox, the GHI cleanse is the absolute best detoxifying formula that I've ever been able to put together for adults or children. Because A, it gives you good digestible protein, but B, it helps detoxify, reduce inflammation, clean the liver, flush the kidneys, and get the toxins out of your body where they need to be, gone somewhere else. And you continually help your body rebuild itself. Inflammation is one of the key culprits of major diseases because the body can't heal and recover because it's constantly inflamed. And the issue is most kids and adults that start having health problems, the liver starts getting overworked and they put more toxins and more toxins and more toxins and more toxins. And the body gets so inflamed, it doesn't have any way to get rid of the toxins. And so it just continues to build. Body fat continues to increase. The digestive system and the colon can't clean itself out. And the health problems continue to arise and get worse and worse and worse. And you start having metabolic syndrome. You start having diabetes. And so what they're looking at here is dietary improvements have to be made with our younger generation. That's why I like a lot what RF Kennedy Jr. is doing. Is getting a lot of the stuff out of the doggone market. The food colors, at least. I think Coca-Cola now, they're saying they're going to remove high fructose corn syrup. Then maybe a marketing stunt to try to get sales up because now people are going to, oh, it doesn't have high fructose corn syrup. It's good for you now. That's not true. It's still a lot of sugar. You don't need to drink except in moderation. But people say
cane sugar is better by far. However,
by far. But, right. Cane sugar was never good for you. High fructose corn syrup is just like toxic sludge you're pouring in your body.
Right.
Your body can process some decent cane sugar. It's not that hard on the pancreas and the liver. You start dumping in cups and cups and cups and cups of high fructose corn syrup all day, every day on it. It literally grenades your liver and it becomes unbelievably fat trying to heal itself up from all basically the cuts and tears and just nastiness in it. It becomes overloaded. I mean, we're seeing 12 to 15 year olds have an extremely high rate of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which we have never seen in human history, ever. And you go, wonder why this is happening. Look at their diet. They want to eat McDonald's and French fries and soda 4, 5, 6 times a day. They want to eat all this processed candy. They want to eat all these sugar drinks all the time. They want to eat all this fat food. Jeez, I wonder how they're having all these health problems. I don't know. Maybe look at their diet. Don't bring the house. Keep the crap out. That's the biggest thing you can do. I mean, I'm sweating, man. That's 3 purple sticks got me lit up.
I love it. Much. I love it. No,
it's hot in here.
Well, no, you're on fire. Yeah. So the you mentioned RFK and about taking things out. There was a story about the removal of thimerosal from vaccine batches. Okay, so thimerosal is used as kind of like a preservative, is my understanding, where in vials that contain multiple doses, thimerosal is added. Is that correct based on your research, or is that in my office?
Yes, and I think 48 or 52%, I've checked my numbers, of thimerosal's direct makeup is mercury. Mercury is the third most toxic substance right. in the world known to man. It's unbelievably bad for the body in any dosage whatsoever. The fact that we know the research on mercury, we understand how toxic it is. We've removed it on just about every single thing we possibly get exposed to, yet we leave it in the very things we're injecting our most delicate substance, or the most delicate private, you know, pride and joy, our children. Like the most delicate thing you have, you're injecting thimerosal. They've got it out of the fluorescent bulbs now. They got it out of the thermostats. They got it out of the teeth filling now. And they use basically the porcelain. We've removed it from everything because it's so stinking deadly. Yeah, we still leave it in shots because it's the preservative. It's full of crap is what it is. It's a complete lie. There are so many different preservatives you can use in certain injectable compounds to keep them clean and decent, but they don't want to do that. The thimerosal causes a massive inflammatory response in the body, and in some cases, they say it leads to a better response from the immune system because you're overloading it with so many toxins at once. It has a better response. That, again, is a complete lie. My opinion, told you this, talk to physicians, talk to scientists that are actually awake, and they have all told me pretty much in unison, the main reason why we have so many adjuvants and thimerosal still and huge amounts of aluminum, again, which is also a known neurotoxin, in the shots is because it causes more of an inflammation, not to have better response from the actual virus, but to actually cause more health problems. It's designed to keep the pediatricians fed to the medical industrial complex. I know, you guys, if you don't understand this, it's going to blow your mind. You're going to think I'm making stuff up. You could do your research and actually talk to some physicians that are awake and don't approve this stuff anymore, don't use it. They know what it does to the human body. They know what it does to young children's body. The only way some of these pediatricians continue to make as much money as they do is they have to have continual patients. How do you keep patients that are healthy? How do you make money off of them? You don't. If 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids are constantly healthy, they don't have to go to the doctor because they're growing fine. Their speech is great. Their schooling's doing good. They don't really get sick except for maybe a head cold because they put their finger up their nose or something stupid. You don't make any money as a pediatrician. They get the children in the system on the schedule intentionally to keep them in the merry-go-round of the medical industrial complex. So they train the parent and the child that I've got to go to the doctor every 3 months or 6 months or 12 months to get my checkup. Why do you need a checkup if you're extremely healthy? Maybe at the early phase, you want to make sure everything's growing with them. Once they start talking, they can start communicating after a couple of years. They'll let you know if they're not feeling good in most cases. You try to talk to a 5-year-old, they'll let you know if they're not feeling good. They'll let you know if they have a headache. Check their fever, check their temperature, see what's going on. Be an active parent. But you don't have to sit there and run to the doctor's office every time they get a sniffly nose, but that's what they want. That's why almost every time I start seeing these kids, they get these shots out of the gate. Adenoids get swollen, tonsils swell up, ears get infected, constantly on antibiotics. Oh, adenoids are bad, tonsils are bad, we got to remove them. I've had parents call me up and they said, my 3-year-old's got their adenoids and tonsils need to be removed. I said, you do understand Wow. Those are organs that are supposed to be there through the lymphatic and the immune system, right? Well, that doctor says we got to remove them. Why don't you actually look at what's causing them to be swollen? There's the crazy part. It's like saying, oh, my stomach's having problems. Oh, we got an idea. Let's cut your stomach out. Well, that doesn't make any sense. No, duh, it doesn't make sense. Why are you cutting organs out of a young child until you actually look to see what's causing the immune response, causing the inflammatory response? And very quickly, you will find that all these adjuvants, aluminum, the mercury, with the thimerosal, the polysorbate 80, all these compounds are known neurotoxins that cause inflammation responses in the body. I'm shooting them up with 7 shots every 6 months. They're drinking high fructose corn syrup soda all day. They're eating high hydrogenated oil all day. I don't know. Maybe you're putting stuff in their body that's causing their body to reject it and go hyper-responsive on their immune system. Just an idea. What do I know? Only been doing this for 20 years and talked to thousands of parents. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm just some guy down here in Florida that sells vitamins, I guess.
Speaking of that, folks, teamhealthmasters.com. The link is going to be in the program description box. I see that we have the coupon code HR5 as 5% off for any product that's not on sale. Okay, for any priced product, that's HR5 at checkout, and that's teamhealthmasters.com. So you were talking about the fatty liver and kind of clearing out the system, one's system. Do you have a pack for, like, a kit for that? Or I know
I actually just put that together today. You gave me the idea of it, to be honest with you, to this. I talked about it about 2 weeks ago on the show, and you brought it up, and it was the magnesium brain food with the GHI cleanse. Those two that we throw together, I'm getting the best responses on from people, and you told me how much it's helped you. And so what I did was I threw a kit together. It is essentially a brain fog detox body kit, brain and body restart kit. And then on top of that, I got all the brand new shakers and the big, great shakers. I love these things. They're like drop proof. I threw one out of my truck the other day and it didn't crack. Don't tell me you need a new one, though, if you throw it at the wall or break it. But I've been known for breaking shakers. And so I made sure we got these in. I was like, we're drop testing these things. I dropped it. I was like, it bounced. We're good. Let's drop it again. And so with that kit, I want everybody to have access to as we drink. Ted mainly drinks this in the morning. I like the Fit Food, the Purple Stick, but we all got our own stuff. But essentially the GHI with the magnesium brain food, this helps detoxify the brain. This gives the body magnesium thionate, which really helps out with brain fog, really increases cognitive functioning. The GHI cleanse, this helps you out, detoxify the liver, flush the kidneys, reduce inflammation in the gut, helps out with acid reflux, continues to help digestion, does a whole plethora of different things. You look at the ingredient list, you'd be shocked everything that's in it. And then I threw the shaker in completely for free on top of the discount already because I love the shakers. They're easy to use. They come with little metal balls on them. This one I already took out as I was using it earlier. And but they give you, it gives you the ability for pretty much one of the best breakfasts you can possibly make besides eggs. I'll be honest with you, I love eggs. Four eggs in the morning with butter, nothing gets much better than that. Four eggs and butter with GHI and magnesium and a shaker, that's it. That's the end-all be-all, in my personal opinion. That always, it has been my go-to staple. If I have this ability to make eggs, that will keep your blood sugar so stable, so energized, so cleaned out for the day, and have so much energy, you won't know what to do with yourself. And if you really need a little bit more help, you know, throw a little Purple Stick in there. Then you get going. I mean, I've been running Purple Sticks all day. So
I love it. Now, do you recommend, on average, the cleanse, should people take that every day?
I live on it. I'll be honest. Okay. I take it every single day. Everybody knows me. I drink it on the show. Ted drinks on the show. I live it on every day. I usually drink at least one shake a day of it every single day. If I need to, and a lot of times I'll go on a detox fast. If I want to get my body, just my liver, a break, I'll do about 2 to 3 day fast on it. Nothing but GHI cleanse and like Ultimate Multiple and the magnesium, and just let my body, my digestive system relax. The reason why I say that sometimes is every now and then your body needs to be able to process everything, clean it out, reduce inflammation, and get back to homeostasis and really push forward. Your body has to continue to scrap away dead cells. And the problem with it is if you don't ever give your body a break, you don't ever give it the raw nutrients, it's constantly in this inflammatory mode. So that's why I tell people they start having issues with arthritis. They're having issues with digestive problems. They're having issues with celiac disease. They're having problems with irritable bowel syndrome. I tell everybody, go on a 3-day GHI cleanse. Just try it. If you really don't like it, you hate it so much, call me up and I'll give you a refund on the GHI cleanse. But quite frankly, I rarely ever get callbacks because people take it and they go, man, I feel really good on that now. I got my brain's clear, my body's clear, my stomach's clear. And I'm like, imagine that. You stop putting McDonald's in it for 3 days. What is the crazy thing else you can accomplish in your life now? And they laugh at me, and I'm being sarcastic, obviously. But it's something, like I said, I recommend. I put that kit together for everybody. So it's on sale right now, already discounted. And I got a whole new batch of the shakers in. So take advantage of it right now. And I know you get good results from it. So does everybody else.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to feel good, man.
And speaking of that pack that you put together, folks, in the Epic Times, there was an article about Americans and magnesium deficiency. I think Eric might have that article. And the more I studied, when my father-in-law came down with Alzheimer's, dementia, and he got really bad, I started really looking into the impact that magnesium has, and it's pretty interesting. I really believe that Alzheimer's and dementia is not just preventable but reversible. Okay. Much like cancer. I don't know if I can explain it properly, but I look at that like cancer. Like there are treatments available that will mitigate the impacts of cancer, and not chemo, not radiation, but things that will draw back cancer, as well as, again, mental issues. Dementia and Alzheimer's. So, and magnesium is a key, I believe, is a key. So go ahead and expand on that, or tell me I'm off base or whatever, but go ahead.
Well, no, magnesium is involved in 300 biomechanical reactions in the body. And the reason why is because it's a water-soluble mineral that is used up. It's like a fuel. Think of it as the 93 octane you throw in your sports car. It's not there if you use it. It's gone. It burns through. You got to refill. Magnesium is the same way. If you're alive and you're breathing air right now, I'm talking. You're breathing. You're talking. You're burning magnesium. Every day you're alive, your body's using it as fuel. So you got to add more to your body. If not, you start becoming highly deficient. And then there's other things, too, that cause even more deficiency. Elderly folks usually don't get enough intake. If you consume alcohol on a regular basis, it burns through D3 and magnesium on a regular basis. Individuals suffering from certain conditions like type 2, Crohn's disease, celiac disease, again, body burns through magnesium. Certain medications will cook magnesium in your body. High-performance athletes, dude, if you lift, you train, you fight, you ride motocross, you race cars, you do anything that's high sport, high activity, high energy, your magnesium gets cooked. I mean, I'm talking grenaded. You've got to add it in there. And then individuals with poor dietary regime, obviously, if you're not eating enough, it's going to burn through. And so you're 100% right. And, you know, I can't make any claims of what magnesium does. But I will say this, and I just saw this a while back, just from an individual, he had contacted me, and he came in the office, and he's had real bad tremors. He was coming down, like, early onset Parkinson's. And he asked me, and I said, I'm not making any claims. And he said, well, can I try the magnesium? I said, you can try anything you want in this office, buddy. You can try anything. I'll encourage you to try it. Use it. And sure enough, he contacted me a couple weeks later, and he was like, hey, he's like, my tremors are getting better. I said, I didn't tell you to take it. I said, whatever you want to take, try it. See what it does. And he goes, I'm going to start buying more of it. And sure enough, he started taking more of it, and his symptoms started getting better. I don't think it went all the way yet because I've only been talking to him for a couple months. But I do know this. It made a positive impact on some of the effects that were coming down with the Parkinson's. I saw that. I can't make any claims for anybody else, but that's what I personally witnessed. And again, I'm not telling you not to deal with your medical doctor. I'm not telling you to come off medications. I'm telling you what I saw somebody happen when they took magnesium brain food. And so, in my opinion, it's like this. If you know something could possibly work really good, if you know something could be a really good, vital, important element or supplement to your body, why not give it a shot? Why not see what it does before you get wrapped up in this? Now, sometimes there's certain things. You start having a severe organ problem. You have a bone breakage. You have something clogged up. Sometimes you have to have medical intervention. There's no question about that. But then at that point, look back and say, okay, what can I do now to mitigate the damage and try to start getting better, whether it's cleaning an organ out, whether it's reducing inflammation, or whatever it may be. So that's the thing. Magnesium deficiency is very common. I think it affects like 48% of the U.S. population now. 48%, almost half the population is efficient magnesium, Doug.
Yeah,
that's a big number.
I had a discussion with my friend who's a doctor about exactly that, magnesium deficiency, and it's amazing. Now, that does not show up in a regular blood test. I mean, you've got to.
Yes, it's very hard to test magnesium levels on blood work because magnesium levels fluctuate significantly throughout the day in the blood because of how actively it's used. I think only like 2 or 3% of your body's magnesium is really carried in the blood. Your organs are utilizing it most of the time, so it's difficult on a blood test.
Right, right, and therein lies that the difficulty that anyone can make any claims about that, okay, because of the difficulty in that. But regardless, I believe the magnesium brain food does really work and work well. And I'm glad you put that kit together because I think the mind and body together, I mean, it's a very synergistic thing that we all deal with. And you know, folks, healthmasters.com. I'm going to tell you right now, they've got, in my view, the best supplements, the best quality supplements on the planet. Don't take my word for it. You order and take it yourself. And you'll see the difference between them and a Walmart or a CVS or whatever other brand that there might be. And there's no foreign ingredients in these at all. So, teamhealthmasters.com is the website, and there it is on your screen. Take advantage of what they have on sale, the product of the week. And while you're there, you can also pop over to their radio show and listen to an hour daily download of Ted and Austin Brower. So I'm telling you what, they're doing a great job in really clearing us, helping us. And it's interesting because you also pointed out how much we actually spend, how much Americans actually spend on healthcare. And it's just absolutely amazing, you know, to really consider. I think there's an article in there that you pointed out. Let me, sure, Eric the Tech is Isn't there
yeah,
one?
Yeah, I think with the numbers I saw the other day, said the United States spends more on medical care than any other country. Expenditures of $4.9 trillion in 2023, more than 17% of the gross domestic product. And that's in that's everything. That's medical care. That's treatments. That's drugs. That's physicians. That's everything. But regardless, even if it's the whole kit and caboodle, $4.9 trillion, a lot of stinking money on medical care every single year. And yet,
yeah, I apologize for
far
revisiting
we surpassed
that.
But every country. I mean, many countries combined and stacked, yet we're one of the sickest countries. What's going on there? You know,
I'm amazed at those numbers. And again, revisiting that page and those numbers, my apologies for kind of going backwards, but I think it's important because all of this is connected too. And, you know, with the numbers that we're seeing too, and this might be a little bit different, Austin, but I believe that we are seeing people dying off now. At the rates we warned about before from the injections, from the mRNA injections. Okay. Now I think we're going to see a pretty dramatic rise in the number of deaths. The insurance companies, as I said earlier, put the number of injection related deaths at about 5,000. I think we're going to see that go up and it's going to become undeniable at some point. I don't know where that's going to stop. I was speaking with someone, as an aside, one individual who, both two people that I know, husband and wife, both have cancer, actually, and they're in their late 40s. Both have cancer.
Yeah.
And they both obviously receive the injections. But we're going to see more of this. Sir, go ahead.
It's horrible, Doug. I mean, the fact of the matter is, the sad part about it is, and I feel like that's why I keep trying to do everything I can to get the truth out there to everybody, because so many people are just, they just don't understand a lot of these topics, and they're so geared and so brainwashed to believe everything the mainstream media tells you about the medical industrial complex. And I'm sitting there going, do you need the laundry list of things that they lie to us about? I mean, do we really need to go there? I mean, COVID was just one of the biggest ones. I mean, you go back, like I brought up earlier, let's start with weapons of mass destruction that we had to invade an entire country over. Let's just start there and go down the line year after year after year after year. I had something like that printed out a long time ago. Somebody had sent me, and it was all the things the government told us were 100% factual and later come out and they were completely wrong or knowingly lied about. I mean, it was page after page after page after page. And I'm sitting there going, but they're telling you the truth about food, and they're telling you the truth about your medications. Understand Suddenly. That. They wouldn't lie to you about that. Really? If they lie to you about 99% of everything, they're going to lie to you about the biggest industry in the entire country. $4.9 trillion a year in the medical industrial complex of the United States, and you're telling me you don't think they're going to lie about it? When you get one of the biggest insurance scamming countries in the entire world, medical insurance is insanely scammy. What they've done to everybody, and these premiums, these insane deductibles, as you find out later on, insurance don't pay crap for it in most of these cases. They pay pennies on the dollar to the hospitals, these obscene charges, and yet they go, oh, well, you got to pay your $8,000 deductible if you want treatment. I'm like, dude, I've been paying $1,500 a month for the last 2 years with nothing. Now I need something. It's $8,000. That's why I canceled all my health insurance years ago. Years ago, I canceled all of it. And then I worked a while back ago with one of the co-op companies that like had everybody kind of throw in. It's like $300 a month, whatever. Okay. And then later on, I ended up dropping that because I was like, you know what? I learned a long time ago, if it involves money, it can be negotiated in most cases when you have a giant industry of $4.9 trillion. And I've taught people for years how to negotiate with the hospital industrial complex, how you don't have to pay the bill, how most of the hospital bills can be negotiated 70 to 80% down from what they are. And people argue with me and say, that can't be done.
No, bro, you make a great point.
Papers with my name on them to show you can be done.
Yeah, my experience, my most recent experience, yes. I had a stack of bills, and it's interesting when you talk with the billing department and you come right out and say, look, I can't do the, you know, $1,298, but I'll tell you what I can do. If you want to settle this up for you know, $400.
Yeah.
Let's call it even. And they'll jump at that because otherwise they figure they're not going to get anything. So no. It's a lot easier to do that than to, ignore them. And of course, but here we find ourselves in that position. So folks, if you listening or watching this are getting inundated with medical expenses, bill after bill after bill, because it's something you went through, you know, unexpectedly or whatever, take the time out and research how to do that. Because it can be done for pennies, really pennies on the dollar. So go ahead, sir.
The average that I found is about 70 to 80% discount you can pull on them. So if it's a $10,000 bill, you can usually negotiate it for about $2,000 to $3,000. That's yeah. realistic numbers that they have in it. And I remember a while back ago, like I said, when I broke my wrist, I got them to massively discount the hospital. Well, then the physician, the other bill came in like a month later, and they wanted like another $3,000. And I called them up and I said, I'm not paying $3,000 for this. I said, the guy came in for 5 minutes, gave me an aspirin and splinted my wrist. And it was good. I appreciate the work. A man's worth his labor, but I'm not paying you $3,200 for 5 minutes and an aspirin. I said, that's obscene. I said, right. What do you guys need to be the number on it? And I said, you know, I'll negotiate right now. You guys want $1,000 to do it right now. So that's fair enough. The guy did a good job on me. $1,000 is more than fair for 5 minutes. And they came back and said, we're not negotiating with you. The bill is the bill. I said, okay, well, the bill is not the bill for me, and this is my money. You guys let me know when you want to negotiate. And they call me back about 2 months later. You have a bill with us. We'll settle with you for $1,800. I said, I'm not in the mood to pay that right now. Call me back when you're under $1,000. Sure enough, they end up calling me back like 2 months later, sent me letter. I ignored it. Finally sent me one that said, right now, we'll settle for $850. I said, done. Be done with it. You get paid. They get paid. Everybody's happy. I got the job that I needed. And I said, why can't you guys do this from the gate? I said, you understand. I mean, you guys know the game. Insurance ain't paying $3,000 for it. Insurance will pay about $400 to $500 on it. That's their number. And I said, I always pay my bills. I said, but I'm not going to be taken advantage of either. And so, you know, so there's certain hospitals that are better than others. Some hospitals are horrible. So know that, kind of understand it. Like Advent Health down here in Florida, they are great with negotiating on you. If you need to do something, you say, listen, I don't have health insurance. Do you want to get paid or do you want to, like, because if it goes to collections, they get pennies. They get pennies if it goes to collections.
That's right.
People don't realize that. If they got a $3,000 bill, they try to settle it. Collections buys it for about 10 to 20%. So collections will come in and say, we'll give you $500, $600 for the bill. And the collections tries to come in and make $2,000 on it. And then you call collections. You're like, dude, I know your collections didn't pay for it. I know how the numbers are on it. Here, you guys want to make $100? I'll settle for $700. So you end up paying the same amount. Sometimes I just like cut it out early. I don't know how I got sidetracked on this, but yeah.
Well, I think it was me.
Yeah, there's ways around it, man. Don't ever feel like you're in such a spot that you can't negotiate with a medical industrial complex because –
No, and I think that's a great public service announcement to the listeners and viewers out there, because you can do that, and it's been done, it can be done, and you can do it. So do not accept, you know, just pay. Oh my gosh, I got to pay $5,000. No, you don't. No, you don't. You can do it. You can, like Austin said, you can do that. All right. Austin, we got about 3 minutes left. 3 minutes is yours, my friend, wherever you want to go.
Well, debrief, wrapping up everything in a nutshell here. You know, we discussed the whole facade charade with Epstein. We're talking about all these current things we're going to watch unfold next week. We see that Obama was directly involved in what we accused him of 10 years ago and that entire married gang of bandits, and we're going to see if anybody's going to get indicted. Probably not. Hopefully so. Keep your kids off smartphones if they're under 13, if not even younger than that. Keep your body detox with the GHI. Keep staying strong and healthy. Stay out of the medical industrial complex if you can. There was a meme the other day, and it was like a three-stage comic meme. I should have kept it. And it was a guy, he walks in a doctor's office, he's like in his 20s, and he's super healthy. He's good shape. Doctor goes, your cholesterol is at 230. We've got to put you on statins because we've got to save you in the event you have a heart attack. And he goes, but I'm super healthy. I feel great. My blood work's great. He goes, no. Preventative statins, which they do, by the way. And then 6 months back in, he goes, oh, man, my muscles are weak. Muscle necrosis. He goes, my body hurts. My kidneys are hurting. Oh, that's normal. That's me keeping your cholesterol healthy. Well, yeah, my cholesterol's like 140 now. I feel like crap. He goes, okay, keep taking your drugs. He goes, well, I'm impotent now. My blood sugar's going through the roof with these statins. Oh, it's fine. Here's Viagra, and here's basically some metformin. This show's like 2 years later. He comes back in. No, sorry, you got type 2 diabetes now. Now you're on insulin, and now we got to give you more drugs. Then it goes through the list, and sure enough, then at the end of the road, the guy's like just decrepit, unbelievably bad shape, dies at like 65 years old. And it said, this is a story that's way too true and happens way too often. Look at what your dietary choices are. Look at your lifestyle habits and try to make preventative measures before you get to this point. And by all means, you have the right to say no to drugs. Remember what Reagan said? Say no to drugs. He said the same thing to the doctors. I'm not telling you to do it. I'm not recommending you don't listen to their advice. But you don't have to take something just because somebody scribbles it down on a pad and says, your cholesterol's bad. Get some other opinions. Do some research. That's my take on it, Doug.
Just say no. And folks, I'll tell you something.
I'm emails on that one.
Well, no, I agree 100%. Because the statins, oh, everyone won. Every medical person wants you on statins.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Everyone.
Yeah. I've never met somebody who did not, never met a doctor who didn't love statins. Except
number
one
prescribed
doctors.
Medication in entire yeah. United States.
Exactly. Folks, do me a favor. After tonight's broadcast, go to teamhealthmasters.com. The link will be in the program description box. And if for some reason it's not, but it will be, but if you can't find it, just go to teamhealthmasters.com. It's just that simple. Order your product today. Stock up on it because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen with the supply chain. Hey, and you know what? Start now. You can do it. Start now. If you haven't ordered yet, let them know, by the way. If this is your first order with Health Masters, let them know.
Put in the comment section of the orders, yeah. Both orders, both sites, Team Health Masters, Regular Health Masters, have a comment section. And while you're there, put HR5 in. That
definitely.
Way Doug knows he bought supplements for him and give you 5% off store-wide on regular price items. The coupon doesn't apply to kits, 3-packs, and detox kits and stuff like that. But any regular stuff, it'll apply to it for you guys.
Yeah, well, the kits are already formulated for that somewhat marked down, so I'm not worried about that. So I understand they've got to make a profit too. Teamhealthmasters.com, HR5 coupon code. Austin Brewer, thank you so very much. I'll be listening to your show tomorrow morning with your father as well. And give him my best. Got to get him back
thank
on.
Thank you, Doug. Too. I appreciate you being on the show. You and Randy tear it up tonight. I'm sure you guys are going to have a good show. I'm excited to hear it. I'll probably listen to it in the morning, get some more content. I am probably going to go get another workout in because I took too many purple sticks and I am not going to bed right now. So
I love it. And those purple sticks, I got to tell you, one of my favorites. I got to watch it because, man, those will. I could drink 2 gallons of coffee at night and I'm fine. Okay. I don't get the shakes. I don't know. I probably burned up my whole adrenal system, but I take a purple stick and man, that is like, that's the old Dexedrine back in the day to me.
Yacked up, bro. It's like, I got stuff to do and I'm going to get it done. Get out of my way or get run over.
All right, my friend, you take care of yourself and we'll talk soon. Austin Brewer,
folks. You guys have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Randy Taylor is now with me. We're going to be talking a little bit about some things that we briefly mentioned, Austin briefly mentioned, but there's some good stuff out there. And this strike force, man, Department of Justice strike force, when you look into that, and Randy Taylor, I'm referencing right now, the Department of Justice, their strike force, that they're organizing. Now, I get it, okay? Do I have faith, like a lot of faith in Department of Justice right now? Boy, not really. I'm not that excited about it, but the Department of Justice is creating a strike force to investigate Tulsi Gabbard's evidence. If this takes off, and if this strike force, and by strike force, I mean a compilation or a grouping of all of the intel agencies, the investigative bodies. If this does the job that it should do, I do think this will result in some arrests. Now, will it result in the arrest of Barack Hussein, Obama, Barry Sotaro, and Big Mike or whatever, or Hillary Clinton? Look, I don't know. And I'm going to ask Randy Taylor about that. I don't know. But this is a pretty big deal. And yes, you know, does it deflect from the Epstein stuff? Yeah, it does. But we're not going to forget about that. Just as we haven't forgotten about TWA Flight 800 from 1996, 29 years ago, this month. Okay. We don't forget about anything, but we do look at what's on, really what's taking place right now. So this is something that I'm encouraged about. And if you go back, the concept of strike forces began in 2007, usually on RICO cases RICO, the large criminal enterprises. But Gabbard today declassified and released a House Intelligence Committee report that alleges that the Obama-era intelligence assessment on Russian election meddling used the Steele dossier. Remember, the Steele dossier was paid for and everything was drafted from Hillary Clinton and the Clinton campaign. But they used that to underpin its conclusion that Russian President Putin aspired to help Donald Trump win the 2016 election. As a matter of fact, I'll play this and then RT, you come on. John Solomon kind of had this 2-minute summary. And I thought, wow, if anyone is unfamiliar with this, this 2-minute summary kind of just lays it all out. So this is in the show notes. We'll play this, bring RT on, and then we'll have a discussion. This and more on the other side. But here is John Solomon.
Well, let's take Barack Obama's statement at the start. None of this makes sense. Let's make sense of it for your audience. Barack Obama attends a meeting in July 2016 before Crossfire Hurricane is opened by the FBI targeting the Republican nominee for the 2016 presidential election. And he's told Hillary Clinton is going to invent a scandal. She's going to hang a fake Russian signal on Donald Trump's campaign house and make it look like Vladimir Putin is trying to help him win the election. They know the fix is in at the beginning. Barack Obama does not stop his FBI or his intelligence community from then investigating that very allegation, even though they know it emanates from a dirty trick inside of the Trump campaign, inside the Hillary Clinton campaign. In fall, after the first effort to defeat Trump failed, they don't defeat him. The Russia stuff doesn't work, even though Christopher Steele and others tried to peddle it as hard as they could. Barack Obama assembles a team. He assembles it. He orders this ICA. And this intelligence committee assessment reverses what the intelligence community just concluded, that Vladimir Putin in September didn't have a preference of which candidate to win. He was just trying to sow chaos, which, by the way, is the traditional Soviet playbook. To get to that conclusion, they have to take a document that has been fully discredited by December of 2016 and injected into the earlier intelligence assessment. That document is the Steele dossier. In December, when they used the Steele dossier at Barack Obama's direction, this is the new assessment they're doing, Steele's already been fired. It's already been proven that none of the statements in his dossier are true. The FBI had a spreadsheet knocking them all down, or that none of them could be corroborated if they weren't knocked down. And three, they know the rest of the CIA doesn't believe the document should be used. And what do? They put it in that dossier. One more thing, just real quickly. In January, as he's leaving office, the FBI has cleared Mike Flynn. President Obama presides over a meeting with the FBI to figure out how they can keep pursuing Flynn and hamper the beginning of the Trump presidency. Barack Obama was at the center of those three actions for a major part of the weaponization prior episode.
I'll tell you what, trying to talk through the bumpers on Real America's Voice. Yeah.
I thought it was at my end.
No.
I was sitting here shutting off my cell phone, and I'm like, "What? Where is this coming from?"
It's the curse of the bumpers, curse of the commercialized radio and video. So, but that's where that's at. But how are you, Randy Taylor? We'll talk about that in a moment, the content of that. But how are you?
I'm good. Good. I was a little late because I was going to get my statins.
Double up on the statins. Turn your brain and others into mush.
I honestly quit taking them. I did have a cholesterol problem, but I take a drug called Repatha. It's not a statin, it's an injection in the leg.
Oh
yeah. So because remember, statins put me in the hospital a couple of times with attacked the liver.
Oh yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And brutal. It's funny now. My one doctor used to push statins on me and said you got to take these, and now my current doctor says you can't touch a statin because you know your liver's just barely hanging on. Wow, just to comprehend that, okay, to think that the damage that could be done, being done to otherwise normal and healthy people, that's just,
the one statin that many, 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 many years ago I had taken was Lipitor.
Oh, yeah, that's everyone watching on that. Yeah,
man, that knocked me flat. Yeah. That was 15 years ago as I stopped that. And I went on the most mild statin they had, like Pravastatin or something like that. It's like statin for kids, you know. And it's like, and it's still my liver couldn't take it.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the aspirin too, which I don't take aspirin at all, but the aspirin, ibuprofen specifically, it really is bad for the liver. Drink it. You can actually have your liver could look like a Swiss cheese if you just never drink and you know, I never had hepatitis, but you took ibuprofen.
My wife had sent me a little. My wife had sent me a little meme here. It was yesterday or today. It said, "Your doctor isn't a healer; they're a highly trained drug rep."
And anymore, that's exactly what they are. Yeah. So, yeah,
ridiculous. So, as we get older, we take way too many drugs as it is,
and not the good kind either.
Yeah, couldn't get a Percocet if I wanted one, but
right. And you know what? That still bothers me. I've told this story on air before, and I'll never forget this. Nor will I. Can I forgive the doctors? A good friend, rheumatoid arthritis, just absolute. I mean, it hurt me to look at this woman. She was in a wheelchair. She was all curled up. I mean, her hands and just to move, it's just absolutely. I mean, she would scream if you know. And so she was prescribed a fentanyl patch, which I have no problem with that, or morphine or whatever. I've got no problem with that for pain, for relieving the pain. Well. When all of this stuff happened with the opiates and stuff, and folks, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So she could only get like 7 or 8 patches, and she replaced one, a nurse actually replaced it because she couldn't even do it. And then she had to go in, I think, it was once, at least once a month from my memory. To the doctor, which would just cause her immense pain. I mean, imagine if you got a 9 o'clock in the morning appointment, you got to start at 7 in order to get to the car or get to the
van. And you can't even move.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the reason is, well, it's law and we don't want her getting addicted. I mean, what the hell? She's passed away and she died, I don't know, within a year, probably within a year and a half after that. But where has common sense gone, whether it's in the medical field or even in the current environs? Where's it gone? you know. So, okay, I don't know how I got off on that.
But you're absolutely right, because they lumped everything to do with opioids all in the same basket. The criminal aspect of it and everything. And the people that take drugs responsibly got lumped in there too.
Yes.
And that was absolutely ridiculous. That was devastating. I didn't understand it in Canada, because when I was up there, they were against the opioids, but they started selling weed in the stores.
That hurts my head. Mm-hmm. I can never understand
I can buy opium, I can buy hash, I can buy pot.
On the street.
But you can't in the store.
Weed in the store. Well, like
there's
7-Eleven or what?
Yeah, you go in there, they're pot stores.
Pot stores.
They're everywhere.
And you can buy opium in pot stores?
Everything, yeah.
No, hash. You can't.
Yes, can you can. Yes.
No,
I'm telling you, they call it.
Hang on.
They call it. What's the name of it?
Help me out, chat. I want to hear this from chat.
This is in Canada. I know, because remember when my hip was so bad, Doug, that I would literally cry at night. I ordered out of BC really strong drugs like that, and I used them.
Oh, I would
say it was the only pain relief I could get. I'm a grown man, and when my family went to bed, I was crying at night. That's how bad my hip was hurting.
Okay, so wait a second. Optimist, pessimist says dispensaries. Randy's correct. You're telling me that wherever you were at in Canada at whatever time, if you went to a dispensary, you can buy opium.
Yes. They're derivatives of it.
Okay, derivatives. I don't know what that necessarily means, but okay.
Anyway, if hash is a derivative of opium, they're all opiates.
I gotta say this. I haven't touched marijuana since 1970 something. I don't know.
It's changed since then, sir.
So I've heard.
It's so much more potent, Doug, than like when we were in high school and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you know you can buy mushrooms in Canada?
You can buy them at the grocery store here.
No. Magic mushrooms.
Magic mushrooms.
For tripping, man. I kid you not, but good luck getting a burger set.
So let me get this straight. You can buy opium at dispensaries.
I can send you a website right now where if you were in Canada, you could order from.
All right. Well, I don't. That's fine. But okay. So, medicinal dosages of opium is bad.
Not medicinal.
Yeah, well, not. Right. But I mean, the physician world, the medical world says, oh, we got to limit your intake of opium because, my goodness, you know, for pain, if whether it's chronic or post-surgical, it made me laugh. They gave me 5 tablets of something. I don't know. Whatever it was. I think it was Oxycontin or Oxycodone, whatever that stuff was. And I think I might have taken 3, you know, and that was it. But regardless.
But the point is, after some sort of surgery or trauma or something like that, you know, you're going to be hurting for maybe weeks.
Yeah.
And they give you 2 days worth of painkillers.
So that's all bad, but cannabis, not a problem. Oh. We want you to go. Okay. So, you know, it's supplements and such, that's bad, but sex change is good. Head hurts.
Things are ass backwards. With my prosthetic. Okay, it was an insurance company. They said they would pay for the prosthetic, okay? But here was a good one. If If I wanted a sex change, they would give $75,000 for it. No questions asked.
Repeat that for me, please.
If I wanted a sex change,
no, I mean,
the insurance company would pay $75,000.
But your prosthetic?
Yeah, but you wouldn't know. You wouldn't realize, hell yeah, we had to go through. We had to come up with everything up front, and then their math was different organizations' health views, so we're going to calculate that, and then we're going to take that new adjusted total, and then we're only going to pay 80% of that.
Wow.
I don't. It's a monkey math, as I call it.
Yeah,
we're in,
okay.
We're in the hole.
Well, again, not to belabor the point, but man, how screwed up is everything that we need to? I mean, when you sit and you think about this, you've got
that ties into what we're going to talk about. But how screwed up is it? Look at this. We're questioning whether they're going to arrest Barack Obama, although we know he is already guilty. They arrested President Trump when he was out of his presidency.
Yes.
There weren't even charges filed. They tried to figure out in court what to charge him with, but he was already taken into court.
And make sure folks understand this. Just because you didn't see President Trump in the back of a squad car or an FBI car in handcuffs and then taken to the where he was fingerprinted, mugshot, and all that. Well, they had his fingerprints, but you know, he was absolutely arrested. Go ahead.
Yeah, they tried.
Yeah,
they tried. And they put. Let's not forget, they put President Trump through hell.
Oh, yeah.
And he still went to court, and he still campaigned, and he still had his rallies.
So let me, okay, and let's work backwards, because this is good. Do you think that after all the crap that he endured, now I know if I was him in that position, I would be looking for some hefty payback, okay? I mean, you put my family through this, cost Millis money.
That's you and me. But I got to give him credit. He hasn't, maybe in the back of his mind, but I don't think that's what he's letting him necessarily just what's driving him. I think it's the overall corruption, because Obama's guilty of far more than just that.
Which, and here's a thread, folks, in RT. This goes right along with what Solomon was talking about. This is a thread on X. Let me see if I can pull this up here. Okay. So this will be in the show notes for tonight. And it's, there are multiple videos embedded within this thread. Why don't people just write flippant articles and put the videos in the article? It's just me. I don't know, but I guess people only have a limited attention span. This was posted by the Vigilant Fox. The deep state is in shambles. Okay, we can argue that. I don't know if that's true. I think that some parts are. Okay, Gabbard made Obama gag on his own Russia collusion hoax. I'm sure, probably a little bit more than Big Mike made him gag, but, should I just kind of pause for effect there or what? Anyway, and of course, CNN tried to censor the point, but okay, so you can read this on screen. But today, Tulsi Gabbard came out and said Obama's ties to the scheme are proved. They're irrefutable. We knew all of this. There's nothing new here. What's new is now it's being made public and now it's being delivered. So the first video is, there it is right there. So it's finally happening, according to the Vigilant Fox. After years of speculation, suppression, denials from every corner of the establishment, the truth is now coming to the surface. The declassified report is here, which is true. The declassified report is out. Solomon referenced it. It's out there, and it proves what many have suspected. Now, here's Tulsi Gabbard in this minute 43. And RT, you take it after this. The bottom line up front is that this is Obama's baby along with Clinton. By the way, can you join me tomorrow night? Or are you tied up?
No, I'll be with you. You texted me earlier, and I texted Eric, and you know, let him know that I would take.
Okay, good. I mentioned earlier in the first part of the Steve won't be able because of a scheduling issue. He won't be able to join me. So, RT, you and I, and we got to talk because we got to present some really compelling information to the audience tomorrow night. I really feel strongly that I think if you and I don't drop some things, they're never going to see the light of day.
Sure.
I'm just saying. Okay, but we'll talk about that.
All right.
So getting back to what we were just talking about.
You know, I'm in.
Yeah, I know. And I don't want to say that's scary, but that's, believe me, folks.
I'm always up for the fight, man.
That's why I got two things here. sorry for the vulgarity, but not sorry. I don't know if you can see that. That's number one. And the second thing is my 6 a.m. raids. Don't come close to me. Don't come any closer. I don't know if you can see that. Don't come any closer to me. It's a
grenade.
Yeah. Stay back. Stay back.
Check your number.
I'll pull it. Never mind. All right. So
now they'll be there.
Yeah. You got a grenade there. What else you got? Yeah, just so people don't freak out, it's a novelty. Okay, it's bored out in the bottom.
Actually, it's a training grenade. That's what the U.S. Army uses, and they put it's like similar to an M80 blasting cap inside of those.
And
it's not enough to obviously to blow the grenade apart, but it does
make a bang.
It does definitely makes a bang, and the cool part is if it lands near you.
It doesn't hurt you.
Although we had a guy in basic dive on the grenade.
I don't know.
They discharged him.
Yeah, I guess.
But just basic training. He dove on the training grenade. I'm like, oh, God.
There's no fixing that, you know.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah, but actually, there was somebody actually. I won't get too far into it, but when I showed this before, I got somebody was very concerned about me doing that, and there was an inquiry about what I was holding up exactly. So I had to explain to someone in authority what that was, and frankly, that was the last I heard. But you know, so just man. People today, I don't know, but okay. Let's get back to this. So, Tulsi Gabbard released some pretty. Again, we already knew this, but for her in her position to say this, oh boy, it's 1:43, and then RT, tell me your thoughts after this, because this is looking like it's going to be something. For sure, this is already the biggest scandal, political scandal in our history. Here is, on that thread, here's the first video.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon. At President Trump's direction and with the support and coordination with the House Intelligence Committee Chairman Rick Crawford, today we've released a declassified oversight majority staff report that was produced in September of 2020. The stunning revelations that we are releasing today should be of concern to every American. This is not about Democrats or Republicans. This has to do with the integrity of our democratic republic and American voters having faith that the votes cast will count. There is irrefutable evidence that detail how President Obama and his national security team directed the creation of an intelligence community assessment that they knew was false. They knew it would promote this contrived narrative that Russia interfered in the 2016 election to help President Trump win, selling it to the American people as though it were true. It wasn't. The report that we released today shows in great detail how they carried this out. They manufactured findings from shoddy sources. They suppressed evidence and credible intelligence that disproved their false claims. They disobeyed traditional tradecraft intelligence community standards and withheld the truth from the American people. In doing so, they conspired to subvert the will of the American people who elected Donald Trump in that election in November of 2016. They worked with their partners in the media to promote this lie, ultimately to undermine the legitimacy of President Trump and launching what would be a years-long coup against him and his administration.
To hear her say that, Randy.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're coming up with this today. This was established 5 years ago.
Yes, it was.
This is the Senate Intelligence Committee. Stop and think about that. They know this. They've known this.
Yeah.
But the point is, they didn't just dream this up last Wednesday and decided to spit this out. This is a hard fact.
Very much so.
You know, and will they arrest Obama? If Trump has any say-so about it, yes.
I would think.
Because look at what they put him through.
And that's the reason why.
Ex-president, sir, you're not off limits.
No.
You guys said the Democrats set the standard.
But would he have any presidential immunity? As president? No, why not?
Why? Because that, he's clearly breaking the law. That's breaking the law.
Actually, that probably would be more in the campaign side of things, thinking about it.
Yeah, as opposed to doing anything.
Presidential act.
Yeah. And this, you know, we're protecting the United States. He's the end of democracy. No. You're subverting the will of the people.
Right. So what we saw go ahead.
No. And this, they were doing this too while Trump was president.
Yes.
Forget the 2020 thing. Go back and put this in 2017.
Well, 15, 16. 15,
but you know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, the number was off. But put it in that date frame. Because that's when they were pushing this Russian collusion thing, and Hillary Clinton, all of them. So
the statute of limitations is an odd, because I was asked about this earlier. In fact, my wife and I were talking about this. What about the statute of limitations? And this would not necessarily be applicable until it was put on the record or discovered and then turned over. There's a reset of the statute, the timing. Okay.
Meaning the closest repeat of the incident.
The newest
occurrence of that crime.
So when it's discovered and verified as well.
Right. Okay. Yep.
There's case law to form that precedent. I don't know what it is.
And what is the statute of limitations on treason?
There is none.
There you have it.
On treason.
Lock them up.
Okay. So what we have.
Well, see, I'll tell you right now, as soon as they arrest Clinton, Obama's done. Because she will not go down alone. Hillary Clinton will not go down alone.
Well,
that you can bank on. She's no Oliver North. Right?
Few people are. Or G. Gordon Liddy, if you want to go back further.
She's not a member of... She's not a patriot to her team, put it that way. She would be horrified of dying in prison.
And the, boy, and folks consider too how big this is, because, you know, you look at Epstein and you think, okay, that's child trafficking, right? Okay, now hang on, because Hillary Clinton, I don't think Epstein has anything on Hillary Clinton, given the trafficking role in the Clinton or Foundation. Okay, but that aside, it's interesting because this Epstein issue that's kind of, I don't know what the hell it's coming apart at the seams, and they're but it's not, because it doesn't exist, and then it does. But so all of this combined with this, man, I'll tell you what, I'd be in a fetal position. If I was her, I'd be like, you know, it's in a fetal position.
Yeah, it's shaking them up, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Because her and Epstein had to have crossed ways as far as the trafficking thing.
Well,
but
yeah.
I look at Hillary as really, in Haiti, I just think there were crimes that were never uncovered.
Oh, yeah. I don't think she don't want to be going down there anytime soon.
And I don't think she would go down alone. But there's a bunch of them that really needed to be taken down on this. Clapper.
Exactly. So if you, like a
Brennan,
imagine a pyramid. Yeah. Right. Clapper, Brennan. You got the DOJ, the IC, Comey.
Yeah.
You got
Vindman.
He's part of that as well. You know what? I wonder if I have that note. Let me see here.
Vindman, I want to see you go down hard.
There's a list.
There's a list.
Seriously.
Yes, there is.
There's a list of people. Let me...
Steele, the guy's name on the dossier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And a few, you know, Nellie Orr, too, and Bruce Orr from the Department of Justice. Folks, all of these people, I was talking about these people back in 2016 on my radio show. I'm just saying. So I guess I didn't save it. I'm sorry about that.
That Peter Strzok guy.
Peter Strzok, yep.
Elisa Page.
Yep.
Yep. The list is long, but it's inclusive.
Also, Bill Barr has some culpability here. You know,
yes.
It's bipartisan, and there are a lot of people, individuals, who they can select from the strike force. You know, it'd be great to get a couple of. I know where I put that.
Yeah, Bill Barr and the, you know, his play on Christianity too really bothered me. You know,
wow.
trying to come off like he's this great Christian and going out with the crowd in front of his house and praying with them. And you know what? You're about as phony as a Christian can get.
And I remember, you know, God bless Coach Dave and his team going out to Bill. I mean, first of all, that takes a lot of balls to go out to somebody. He was attorney general at the time. They go out there, they pray in front of his house. Barr comes out, is disingenuous, however, but you know, Coach Dave and the team, they took him at his word, as any Christian would, right? But boy,
I remember them sending us photos from that day while they were standing there.
Still have the photograph somewhere, but anyway, I saw a list, but and I thought I had put it aside, but I don't. But you're right, all of the names on there. Samantha Power, remember you I think you said Susan Rice too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, I didn't.
But remember the people who were also involved in that final White House or Oval Office meeting before Trump took office the first time. And who was it? Susan Rice said, "Yeah, we did everything by the book. Everything by the book." And or whoever it was, you get some of those people in the crosshairs of that strike team. Put them in a room, and you know, I remember when the time period you and I were active. put two people in a room. The first person who talks gets the deal, right?
That's it.
Simple.
That's it. I'd love, that'd be one gang I'd love to question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But folks, that's the way it still works today. The first person who talks gets the deal.
They have to do something. Yeah. Okay. We cannot let the government operate this way. And I think Trump's seeing that. I hope they're not using this. Now, the one thing that has happened that kind of almost indicates guilt, as it goes back to what we had said about behavioral analysis, is you notice that Obama's office put a statement out about this being a distraction.
Oh, we could spend hours on that statement.
Just out of the blue. Boom.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that right there to me is an admission of guilt.
As a matter of fact, is Architect, is that in the, is that statement in the thread? Let me look. No, but I'll tell you where it is. let's see here. Okay, so Eric the Tech, if you can go to the Conservative Treehouse, and this was an interesting post. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 7. This is from yesterday. 7 stories down at that location. Barack Obama releases a statement after DNI Tulsi Gabbard and President Trump outlined the conspiracy to target Trump. Obama releases a statement following both DNI Gabbard and President Trump outlining the Obama administration's conspiracy operation to target President Trump in 2016 and beyond. Okay, this statement. There, thank you. And if you scroll down right below the picture, wait a second.
Yeah, that is right from the statement comes from Patrick Rodenbusch.
Okay, yeah, you've got to click on the more button at the bottom there. Wait a minute. No, that's called Tulsi Gabbard responding to Obama's denials. It's the story right below that. Barack Obama releases a statement after DNI Tulsi Gabbard. It's a story right below them.
Eric, I just forwarded it to you by email. It's an NBC News thing, too, if you want to. It's got it in the second paragraph. It's what the whole thing says, and it's from a Patrick Rodenbusch.
Well, if you want to read that, since you have it available, go ahead.
Out of respect for the office of the presidency, our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House with a response, Obama spokesperson Patrick Rodenbusch said, but these claims are outrageous enough to merit one. These bizarre allegations are ridiculous and a weak attempt at distraction.
Isn't that special? Isn't that special? The church later from SNL. Yeah. Well, now, isn't that special? Yeah.
Yep. Otherwise, just the fact that they put that out screams, that just speaks volumes. That speaks volumes.
So, how do you, from a behavior analysis perspective, to me, nothing. How would you look at that statement?
That almost comes at you with the person that offers too much information in response, as opposed to a more yes or no kind of answer. No, but let me dignify it with some lies.
Yes. And folks, when we talk about behavioral analysis for example, here's a quick example. Okay. This is behavioral analysis for law enforcement. Okay. But the big caveat here is, you can't take symbols, for example, or actions. You have to have a constant or a baseline. There are certain things, of course, you can, but a lot of things you can't. But having said that, this screams, like you said, this screams, oh, it didn't happen. It requires a shut up and, you're full of it. No,
because if it was me and I was innocent and they were saying this, honestly, I'm ex-president, I wouldn't even respond. I'd be like, all right, cool.
Prove it.
Prove it. Yeah, go arrest me. Just try it. You know what I mean? Not, no, you're no. You tell by the response.
And within that response, the backhanded slaps at president. Mm-hmm. Our office does not normally dignify the constant nonsense and misinformation flowing out of this White House. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the exact same respect they showed them when they did it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's total disrespect for the office of the president, who at that time was Donald J. Trump.
Yeah. Yeah.
End of story. The people had spoken and put him there. And this even reinforces more how I believe that there was cheating in the election that put Biden in office, because they had already shown disrespect for the presidency. And their excuse was they thought they were doing it for the country. That's what they're going to come out in court and say.
Yeah.
Mark my words.
You know, there was something. There was a minute and a half clip from Steve Bannon. I want to send this, Eric, I'm going to send this off to you, because I think, RT, you got to see this. And this is what you're talking about, too. In fact, I'll send this right now. Okay.
It's unbelievable what you're going to hear, folks, over the next, until they put Obama in Supermax. I don't want a slap on the wrist. I want the son of a bitch to do some time.
Is that realistic, though?
Is it? It's possible. It depends how far Trump wants to make a mark in history. And I think he needs to. I think somewhere in the history books, there needs to be someone that stood up against the globalist. There has to be.
Well, had
it can't just be us, Doug. It can't just be guys like us. We need somebody with some juice, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone has to. This is not meant. Something has to be done. Or we can never truly have justice in this country. You can't have visible two-tier justice and call it justice.
And the thing you mentioned, too, President Trump would be in jail for, 1,000 years right now if he would not have won, if he wouldn't ran and won, and if the left had their way. And we're seeing really a replay from Soviet Russia, really worse than that.
And he needs to knock them flat. Okay, while he's the president, put an end to this, because if he doesn't, when he gets out of being president, when he's done, they're going to come after him again.
I have no doubt in my mind. And,
he needs to lay the groundwork now, because that way, when they come after him, or if they choose to come after him after his presidency, the people are going to go bananas.
Oh.
And it needs to be that way. It needs to be that way. There's just too much going on in the country. And they're trying to drag the U.S. into the problems that the rest of the world are having right now. UK, France, Canada. Just saw a thing today, a warrior that had the guts to question Trudeau.
Go ahead.
About the convoy, got a letter from her bank.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Bank of Canada.
Okay? Yeah.
A letter from her bank that her business is no longer accepted there. they froze her accounts and told her to shove off as a customer. Okay? Well, this is an attorney. They did this to an attorney. One second. I got it right here. I have the letter right here.
Will this continue? Not. I mean, I'm talking about in the U.S. Will this continue?
If we allow it, yes.
Because it's already happening. It's happened.
Yeah, from RBC, this is July 17, 2025, okay. To Ava Chipluck. Okay. Ava Chipluck, R.E., termination of banking relationship. As a federal regulated financial institution, RBC is required by law to comply with applicable legislation. These laws require that we implement certain processes and procedures which directly support the formulation of RBC's positions with respect to risk. After careful consideration, we regretfully advise you that the recent activity in your accounts is outside of the RBC's client risk appetite, and consequently, we are no longer in a position to continue our banking relationship with you. Okay? They gave her a termination date of August 18, 2025. It's unbelievable.
This reminds me.
It's like when they had the truckers' convoy, and if you donated anything, if you donated a dollar by transfer, they froze your bank account. You couldn't pay your mortgage. You couldn't go to the grocery store. You couldn't do anything. That is that social credit score that they're working their way up to.
And exactly.
And it's real, ladies and gentlemen. And if we don't beat the crap out of it now, it's coming. It will. Here's the thing. The U.S. is like the only country in the world that is putting up a fight. How long can the U.S. sustain against outside forces? You know what I'm saying? How crazy this is getting? This is crazy.
And if I had any big sum of money in the bank, or any kind of remarkable sum, significant sum in the bank, I would not have it in the bank. I'm going to tell you that right now. I would not have it in the bank.
Canadian bank.
Or any bank on the planet, I would have it. It's a losing asset to have cash in a safe or in a under your mattress or in a coffee can, okay, because of the devaluation. Martin Armstrong, gold and silver, you know,
that's exactly what I would do.
Right. It's not going to be, you can't look at that as like, well, you know, it went up 100 last week and went down 200 this week and went up 100. No, you can't. All that is and even a store of wealth is somewhat of a misnomer, but okay. It's more of a store of wealth than the dollar bill, paper dollar, or, you know, whatever. So, but think about this, because we are going to be put in a position, maybe not me, maybe not you, Randy Taylor, but we are going to be put in, maybe our kids, our grandkids are going to be put in a position where they're not going to be able to buy, sell, or anything without.
Yeah, we do. We, you know, this, and this is because it's that mark of the beast ideology type of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're fought that tooth and nail. I don't do this, all this stuff for me. I do it for you guys. I do it for your kids. I do it for my kids. I do it for what's going to be grandchildren. Because I'm not going to be here to protect them. I'm not going to be here to fight them.
The way I look at it is, we're at my age, not so much your age, because
we're the last line of defense, brother.
Yeah, well, and we're running out of runway. That's the way I look at it. I'm running out of runway. Okay, so
all of us are, but
yeah. So why do we do this? I often ask myself that, and it's not for me, because just not for Randy. He's not doing it for himself, but he's doing it for the children and for their children, you know?
You know, it's like when we were doing the terrorism, the counterterrorism stuff.
Yeah.
I always said, if I save one life, it was worth it. Really, $500,000 spent, 10 years of my life. And that's money I spent. And that's if you calculated my time.
Yep.
And actual money that I put into equipment and trips and, you know, things that just had to be done. Sure, the government compensated money and all, but didn't touch it.
Not even close.
They didn't touch what I put in as an American. Do I wish I had that money today? Yeah, I do. My life would be a whole lot easier. Now I have nothing. Okay. But there's some people that are alive because we did it.
Reminds me of that.
I got that, you know.
Well, it reminds me of that story about the young child walking along the beach throwing a starfish in after the tide goes back up. To save the starfish, and there were thousands of starfish on the beach, and a guy comes up to the child and says, basically, what difference? It's like, you're not going to make a difference by what you're doing. And the child picks up another starfish and said, as the child throws it into the water, it'll make a difference to that one. And that's what, that's to me how we should be looking at all of this.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah. Eric the Tech, I sent this to you. We got a little bit off track, but I sent this to you, Bannon and Tom Fitton. This was early in July. And this is what Randy Taylor was talking about what we need to do, what needs to be done, what needs to have happened.
It has to happen.
And so if you don't mind, this isn't a minute and a half and you should have it.
I just don't want this to be a distraction because of the Epstein thing.
And let's not allow that to happen. I don't know how in the hell we can. Well, I got a couple of ideas.
Well, there's ways to do it.
Okay. Because there is somebody who does know more than the average bear, and maybe we can get some data from that person who will never, ever show their face. Okay. But anyway, here's a clip from Bannon, a minute and a half. Watch this.
We don't control the Justice Department. We don't control the FBI. We don't control the CIA. We don't control all the agencies that Tulsi oversees. We don't control the Pentagon. That part of the apparatus that is the deep state and the administrative state around it, they control it. We don't. They just see Trump as a passing figure, like they see everybody as a passing figure. They had two coups. They took out Kennedy in a coup. They took out Nixon in a coup, right? And they took out Trump in the first time in a coup. They got three.
And they tried to set him up to be
killed.
This
audience and this president, this is what his moral authority is. He said, screw you. They wanted to go to Mar-a-Lago. This audience said, fuck yourself. We're not going to do that. We are going to fight and get it back. And now we're back. It's the first time they've ever been defeated. And now we must run the tables. If we don't run the tables, they're going to destroy us. And you know what? We will deserve to be destroyed. If we don't do this now, we deserve to be destroyed. We've got, this is what the thing of victory is. It's not permanent until we permanently take them apart, and it can be done. They're cowering with all their power and all their control. They understand that we're the mortal threat to them, and this is why they try to, and this is why they try to suck us into these sideshows, like let's go regime change Persia and get you sucked in for 25 years. Let's get you into a land war near Stalingrad and Kursk. How about that? Let's go do that.
And yes, we are aware that Bannon has 15 hours of video of Epstein. We're aware of that he hasn't released. Okay, we get that. But sometimes, look, we don't know. All we know is he's right on that, correct on that. So, okay, I'm going to pose this to the chat, Randy Taylor, and let's take a poll. You guys in the chat, ladies and guys in the chat, ready? Tomorrow, Randy Taylor and I are going to be on our own, and we're going to have some time to talk about issues that are pressing on your mind. Now, we've got some inside information on various topics. What would you like, members of the chat, us to talk about specifically for you? What topics do you want to see our investigative findings about? Go ahead and start. Let us know. Let's see here. And again, I'm about 10 seconds behind.
Lord only knows what's going to pop up.
Yeah. No, I oftentimes I go commando, answering somebody in chat. Okay. Anything new in Butler? That's not a... Hang on. We'll address all of these all at once. We got 1 minute left. Butler, who did it? So far, Butler's kind of winning, coming out. Breast enlargements with pics and videos. Nice one. All right. So... I guess
we'll take it under advisement.
I don't give a crap.